Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, Small Towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Now, you know I love my small towns in Georgia, but I also enjoy going to other states, like Louisiana, to explore and share other small towns as well. Today, we visit a small town in southern Louisiana that is right on the mighty Mississippi River, and we talk to a mayor who was born and raised there, served the neighboring big city of Baton Rouge as a law enforcement officer, and now serves his hometown as its elected leader. We're going to go talk with Mayor Richard Lee in the small town of Port Allen, Louisiana. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
This Louisiana episode of Small Town Podcast is produced in partnership with the Louisiana Municipal Association and is sponsored by Louisiana Economic Development. LMA and LED invite you to visit and enjoy the small towns of Louisiana. All right, I'm on the third floor of a very impressive city hall in the council chambers. I love interviewing in the council chambers. In the town of, city of Port Allen, Louisiana. I'm sitting right next to the mayor of Port Allen. That's Mayor Richard Lee. So Mayor Lee, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
And thank you, Mayor. And welcome to the city of Port Allen.
I was making sure I actually talked to with Rose Roche, who we'll probably mention a couple of times because she's been my faithful tour guide this morning. And I actually asked her about the population. It was right around that 5,000 mark. And being from Georgia, we only have cities. But I've learned, and my audience, I think, has learned because I've done enough episodes on Louisiana small towns about the cities, towns, and villages. And those very important population marks.
That's correct.
There. So we'll probably get to that in a little bit, but town of just around 5,000, just above, just below, depending on who you ask, and the census was not the most ideal set of circumstances in 2020 for counting how many people are in your city or town.
Yes, we got interrupted by COVID.
Yeah. Interruption's a very generous way to say that. That was much more than interruption. Well, I want to, I told you I was going to ask you this before, even before we get into talking about you. We're sitting in the council chambers. I walked in here to set up all the recording equipment, and the thing I noticed, you've got a gavel at your chair, which makes sense because you run the council meetings in here, but so does everybody else. Every one of your council members has a gavel, and I even looked on it, and yours says mayor, and the other ones say which district they're from. So explain that, because I was immediately, when I saw that, I thought, man, that's got to be mass chaos. Everyone's got a gavel. They can call everyone out of order or declare the meeting adjourned or whatever. So why are there gavels at every chair in the council chambers?
Well, I was confused about that situation when I first got in office, but I learned later on, after being in office for such a long period of time, is that each council member chairs a committee. And when you chair a committee, you have a gavel so that you can have control of that committee. And that's the purpose of each gavel, each chest.
So when they become a member of the council, they are presented with their own gavel that they get to use. But they only get to use it when they're the chair of the committee that's meeting right then, right?
That's correct.
So when you have council meetings, they're all still sitting there just like I see them right now?
Yeah, they're all sitting at their desks, and each one of them have their own particular meeting that they chair.
Have you had an instance where another council member tried to use his or her gavel while you were leading the meeting?
I maybe had one or two instances in the 8 years I've been in office, but
Just one or two? Okay, that's good. That's better than I thought. I figured there'd be one, at least one or two, but maybe there's more.
They figure I should have stepped in a little bit sooner.
Right, yeah. Right. They decided to gavel someone out of order. Or,
yes,
you know,
sir.
Let's move on. Let's move on. That's the signal to you, right? Move mm-hmm. on. Well, that's fun. No, I had to ask that question. I was like, wow, there's a lot of confusion if everyone's banging gavels and trying to run things themselves. So, but only once or twice. Well, let's talk about you, and I'll start out with the same question I start out with every time on the Small Town Podcast. Mm. Were you born in Port Allen, Louisiana?
Yes, sir. I was born and raised here in the city of Port Allen, right at the corner of LA1 and Rosedale Road, right in the city limits.
Okay.
And I went to school here. I went to Holy Family in elementary school. I went to Port Allen High School for 2 years, and I graduated at Redemptorist High School in Baton Rouge.
Now, I was toured around a little bit this morning, and when you went to Port Allen, is the building you went to for high school now the middle school?
Yes, correct.
Okay, because that was a very impressive building. I actually got the architecture style right. It's Art Deco, and I think it was built sometime in the 1930s. Mm. But what an incredible structure. So that's where you went to high school.
Yeah, and right now it's one of our historical sites.
Yeah, I think it's on the National Registry, I was told. Mm-hmm. So that was very impressive to keep that, and man, that might be the nicest looking middle school, because usually everyone puts emphasis on their high school, but since that was a high school, not a middle school. I haven't seen the high school. Is the high school now just as impressive?
No, the high school is more up to date.
More modern looking, not quite on the National Registry of Historic Places yet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell us, what was life like growing up? What was life for? What'd you do? Obviously, you sound like you remember it fondly, and obviously you either stuck around or came back. We'll get more to your story in a little bit. But what was life growing up like as a kid in Port Allen?
It was pretty good. I grew up in a Catholic environment. I went to a Catholic school majority of my life, and ended up playing softball in the community. And from there, I worked with my dad in the summertime, and he was a carpenter by trade. From there, I graduated from high school, and I left Port Allen High School and went to Redemptorist after my mama passed, and graduated from Redemptorist and found an interest in law enforcement.
Okay.
And at that particular time in 1981, they had a desegregation plan with the Baton Rouge Police Department, and they were looking for more black or minority officers, and I was looking for a job, and I was 21 years old, and I joined the force and got hired, made a career out of it, stayed there 32 years. I worked my way up from uniform patrol all the way up to detectives, to homicide, traffic homicide, in my career in the housing authority developments, where you're doing one-on-one policing, within the developments. And I did that for about 15 years before I retired.
So just you stayed around the area, like right after high school, you were still in the area, just doing some work. You said working with your dad, and then a few years later, you're like, well, all right, better figure out what I want to do. So you went straight to the police academy, working for Baton Rouge Police Department. And that was your whole career, doing that, and then in the housing authority in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess I should point out for the audience that maybe not know the geography, we are right across the river from Baton Rouge. I mean, we see the Baton Rouge skyline from where, because you're right, we are literally a block from the Mississippi River where we're sitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to the old ferry landing. It used to be the ferry that went across from Port Allen to Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And so you're right there. So did you live in Port Allen while you were working in Baton Rouge?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Never left home.
Never left town. Always, this was home. So I go back and forth, and work was like only 10, 15 minutes from the house. So
So not a bad commute.
Not a bad commute at all.
Let me ask that, because this is a little bit of a departure. Most of the places I go are in rural areas or small towns by population in a more rural area. And I've done a few that are like this, but let me ask this question. What is it, and maybe it's the best of both worlds, or maybe there's some, maybe traffic is worse here because your proximity to Baton Rouge. What's it like living in a small town? It's around population around 5,000, but you are literally across the river from, you know, one of the biggest cities, the capital city of the state. You know, I think it's well over 200,000 in population in Baton Rouge. I think I looked that up recently. So describe what that's like. Is it just kind of a, hey, I can be in the big city, and then all of a sudden I'm not? Do you feel like you're coming home and you're still kind of part of a big city, or is it really that much different just by crossing that bridge?
You feel a little bit like you're in a big city because you're not really in the rural area.
Right.
But then again, you don't have the advantages of all the shops and the grocery stores and the malls and everything else. But the big thing about Port Allen is we locate between two bridges. We got the I-10 on one end of town, and then you got the old 190 bridge on the other end of town. So in one bag up, you can go to the other one to get to town.
You got options, is what you're saying.
You got a lot of options. But the other thing too is crime, and the crime in the big city isn't nowhere near compared to small towns where it's very little crime and very little activities. And over the years since I've been in office, it's been picked up, but it hasn't picked up to the point where Baton Rouge has increased double. Because when I was working in Baton Rouge, we was averaging somewhere from 60 to 80 homicides a year, 90 in the hundreds, like 160 to almost 200 homicides a year. So the world has changed. But the thing about the city of Port Allen is that we are a quiet-knit community. Everybody know everybody. And, we still want to remain that. But we still want people to come visit our city.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at what point, because you described your career being in law enforcement, and then it was a law enforcement position, but with the housing authority. Is that right? And you're now retired from that line of work.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you got involved in public service. So at what point did you get into elected office? And maybe there's some overlap. I don't know if you were on council before you were mayor. So when did that all start?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, public service is, when you're a police officer, you're doing public
right.
service.
Right. So, I should say elected public service.
And I was doing that my whole career.
Yeah.
But, after I retired, I had other ambitions of going back to doing carpentry work and, doing some of that nature. But then again, what happened with our community is that we had a mayor that came in, and unfortunately, she ran into some problems and she got recalled. And when she got recalled, the city was in turmoil, and it was more of a racial type issue. And they was looking for somebody to step in to, defuse the situation and to bring the city back to normalcy. And being in that line of work, I figured that, I would be the best person, to bring the city back together. And in all actuality, I didn't know anything about being the mayor. So I had to come in and learn, what it details, and learn from other people that's already in office. And that's how everything evolved. And once I was approached in reference to this particular position, I sat down with my wife. We talked about it, and it took a little while for me to convince myself that this is what I wanted to do. But once I made that determination, I put my best foot forward, went out and went door to door and solicited help and votes, and everything went uphill from there.
Now, what year was that you decided to run for mayor during all that time?
That was 8 years ago. So that's in 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, I don't want you to air dirty laundry for Port Allen, but you said turmoil. In what types of things? Because people in the audience might assume, well, if you're used to public safety and police work, maybe it was in the area of crime. You mentioned how it's lower here than across the river. You were very familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But what, I guess what category I'll say of turmoil? I don't need the nitty gritty details or anything. And then once you answer that, what made you think that you were the right person to be a solution to whatever was going on?
I think the main issue of the mayor that was coming in was that she wanted to go in a different direction, and with the administration she had, they wouldn't allow her to do that, and that what created her issues that came about.
So kind of a gridlock
right.
situation?
Right, because you had a split council and they couldn't agree on anything, and once you brought an item to the council meeting, it was always a 50-50 split. You had three white councilmen and two blacks, and they could never agree. So it was a matter of just coming in and getting everybody to work together to reach a common goal so that we can move the city forward, and that's what I brought here for the city of Point Allen.
What you pointed out about your council makeup makes it seem like there was kind of a racial divide. Some of those tensions that are here, and that was part of it?
Mm-hmm.
So what, I can't help but ask this question then, what have you done, or what have you, now that obviously you won. You won that, and you, it sounds like 8 years you served. Are you at the end of your second term now?
Yeah, I did partial.
Okay, you filled the rest of that
term.
Okay.
So this is my third term.
Okay. So you filled the rest of that term, did a full term, and now you're in your second full term, your third term overall. Okay.
Right.
And so what have you been able to do? Because if it was, the council didn't change during that special election, I assume. Is that correct?
No, they didn't.
Okay. So you came into the same stuff. So what did you do different? How were you able to accomplish any kind of collaboration where it seems like that was kind of the stumbling block before?
Well, first of all, coming into a new situation that you know very little about is that you have to be vocal, and I mean, you got to have open ears and open mind so that you're able to understand, you know, what you want and where you want to go.
Yeah.
And then what you have to do is you got to be able to steer your committee in the right direction. And I think that's what we did going forward is I listened to what was going on with the council members. I listened to my employees, and then we moved forward from there. And they didn't make too many changes because, I mean, the city was in good shape. I mean, we wasn't in a deficit.
So you had, it sounds like you had the foundation was
right,
solid.
Right.
But making the progress.
Right, making the progress.
Which direction to go was the part that was kind of being, I guess, fussed about.
Yeah, and the thing was is making things positive and giving that atmosphere that, hey, we're not a racially divided community. We just want something for everybody.
Yeah.
And then people just want to be treated the same. And,
right.
And that's what I brought. I mean, whatever you do for one, you have to do for the other.
So what, in the 8 years that you've been in office, what, whether it's your proudest accomplishment or just some things that have happened in a positive direction for Port Allen, what would you say has been going on?
One of the best things that happened was we had our 100-year celebration.
Okay.
And that's when the whole community came together, and we had a celebration right here around City Hall on the levee top. We had a fair, and several artists and performers came, and we had a long weekend activity.
Everybody had a good time.
Oh, they did.
For
and,
all.
And it was impressed. And that was the best thing that could have happened to the city of Port Allen after everything that was going
on.
Yeah.
So you feel like there's been some progress in bringing people together?
Yes, it
is. Yeah.
It is.
And I'm sure you don't have to tell me one way or the other unless you want to. I'm sure there's still racial tension if there was 8 years ago. That's not something that just disappears.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's still there. But at the end of the day, like I said, as long as you treat everybody fair and you try to present yourself that way, you know, you just move on.
Yeah, yeah. What are some other things? If things were kind of in, at least in a stable position, you said there was no financial issues, nothing mm-hmm. like that. What have you kind of pushed forward? Did you, and maybe I should back up and ask this. When you ran, you've explained kind of the circumstances in the city
mm-hmm.
and more the morale maybe. But was there a specific thing when you ran, maybe it was part of your platform, something you, maybe an idea you got from some people that they wanted to see that you weren't thinking of? I certainly got some when I first campaigned. I was like, okay, this is what they want. Boy, mm-hmm. that makes a lot of sense. And it wasn't my idea. It was just from the campaign trail. Did you have a certain project or initiative you wanted to undertake as soon as you got in office as a result of something that drove you or something you picked up from campaigning?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things was the activities here in the city of Port Allen, and they developed the walking trail on the levee, and we wanted to bring other things into this particular area so that you can attract more people. And now the other thing is we've been trying to do for many years is to improve downtown Port Allen. Of course, most of it had disappeared, but we wanted to bring more attraction to the downtown area and to the old ferry landing, which we built a community park, which is called Centennial Park, named after the 100th anniversary.
Yeah.
And we built that park, and we still continue to add little pieces here and there because we want to put a restroom facility next to the park. And the other thing was the walking trail. We wanted to connect that trail with other walking trails throughout the city, which one of them would be the Whitehead Boulevard walking trail. So the thing that you want your city to come together and is that all these trails would lead to this one location.
Right.
So the other, now our next plan is to connect the other half of the city, which is on the other side of LA1, with sidewalks and making it more walkable to the east side of LA1, which will be to the ferry boat landing.
And let me ask this, because I had a delicious breakfast. Rose was taking me around everywhere, and we had breakfast at it's Court Street Cafe. Mm-hmm. Yep, got to sit actually with the owner, Jason, and he was actually explaining the original downtown to Port Allen was what's it's now under the levee because it apparently got flooded. There was a flood sometime, I forget the year, but I think it was in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. And so now, and this is a challenge that's it kind of speaks to what you were just talking about, connecting everything. Mm-hmm. What was maybe kind of a laid out downtown when things got kind of shuffled due to weather. Mm-hmm. Now there's just a long main strip that's the business district. And then, LA1, that main highway, and I came in to Port Allen, turned on Court Street, came down to City Hall. It kind of cuts things. Mm-hmm. So it's not as – so are you – with your pedestrian bridges, are you going to be – they're going to be going over the highway, or are they just going to make it so that people have to stop better? Because that's – that connectivity, I can already see it just going around. You've got some really good things going on. City Hall looks great, and it's right there at a park. Right at the levee. I actually went up there to the old ferry landing before I came here and saw the walking trail. So I didn't realize how recent that was. That's really amazing.
Yeah.
And but what, I guess, do you see that as the challenge that needs to be overcome as far as the business? Everything's not as connected because there's something breaking it up, or the business district's kind of a long street instead of a multi-block kind of region.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we have to wrap our brains around is how we can develop a more walkable type community. And that's what we're working on right now with the Department of Transportation, because Court Street right now is the main thoroughfare.
Right.
And we're trying to get a sidewalk that would lead from the end of Court Street, which is a new subdivision that we're developing. It's a 200-acre subdivision just west of LA1. Mm-hmm. That they will put a sidewalk that will be connected down Court Street to the levee path. So we have those ideas. Plus, we have ideas of bringing more businesses into downtown Port Allen. And right now, they got the old D'Agostino building, which is right here on the corner, which they didn't identify as a historical site also.
Okay.
So hopefully we got somebody that's going to develop that particular project.
Do you know what? Oh, you're just looking for a developer? There's not a specific use for it just yet?
Yeah. It's,
okay. But you got a historic structure. You're looking to make use of it. So.
Yeah, and the previous owner, Ms. Mona, she didn't want to sell it because it was a family property.
Yeah.
And Mr. Bubba Phillips, who owns all the property just on the other side of the Intercoastal, they end up buying that building, and now they're looking for some type of developer to come in and develop some type of business.
But to keep it as the same historic structure.
Right.
Okay. Right. Yeah, no, and maybe I should ask it like this. It would be easy, and I heard someone say it when I was talking to a few people earlier today before I got to meet with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say who it was, but they said whoever said it was saying we're more than just a bedroom community. And I'm sure it'd be easy because of your proximity to Baton Rouge. You got a bunch of people who live here, probably work over there. You did that as a police officer for many years. But I can see just by driving around, there's some things going on here. I hear from talking to you, there's some development going on here. Mm-hmm. So what, I guess now that we've talked about a little bit of the past and kind of the present stuff, what is kind of the vision for the future? What's coming?
Well, right now we got more housing, and we got, like I said, we got the 200 acres of development that they're getting ready to build close to about six, when after 10 years, it's supposed to be roughly about 600 homes.
Okay.
We got a couple of smaller homes that's being built on 10th Street that's being developed, because that's a thing that we're lacking right now is housing. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is affordable.
Yeah.
So that's the
trick, isn't
that's
it?
That's the trick. You can build all the houses you want, but if people can't afford them, then
they can sit there. Yeah.
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 But other than that, we're landlocked with agriculture land all around us, so it's very hard for us to expand.
Right.
But as we continue to grow more westward, I think that's the way to go.
There's another thing I wanted to ask you. And this, again, from conversations earlier already, and I've had this same conversation with several other Louisiana mayors, especially in this part of the state. Mm. In 2005, there was this little storm called Hurricane Katrina.
Mm.
And so many people in other Louisiana towns were affected by that years afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because, obviously, there was damage all over this part of the state, right. Most notably in New Orleans, but certainly everywhere else. But the after effects of kind of this population migration, how different communities have dealt with that. So how did that, what happened in Port Allen and how has that changed things in the last, because that's, we're coming up on 20 years ago, because that was 2005.
Yeah.
So what was it like then in Port Allen, and what has that meant for population surges? I mean, I bet your population's higher now than it was there because people moved north and said, I don't know if I want to live quite that close to the coast in Louisiana right now.
Yeah.
So I assume that similar story happened in Port Allen.
Yeah, well, I was mainly in Baton Rouge during that particular time.
Yeah.
And we felt that surge from law enforcement because I was working with Housing Authority and had a whole lot of people that was looking for housing
right.
at that particular
yeah.
time. So we housed a lot of the New Orleans for almost about 4 or 5 years
right.
after Hurricane Katrina.
Like I told you about the reason I even started this podcast, mm-hmm. the news vans come out and want to report after a big storm, a major catastrophe, a financial issue, whatever. But mm-hmm. at some point, there's a bigger story, it's somewhere else, and so the news vans leave.
Right.
The story still mm-hmm. goes on, and people don't realize that the effects happened for years after mm-hmm. that. So you're saying people came and needed housing,
mm-hmm.
couldn't go back home, or right. maybe eventually didn't go back home.
Right.
That was 4 years that the housing authority was just overwhelmed in Baton Rouge because of something that happened in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
It was. And then a lot of people, and they had a few that came to Port Allen because the thing about Port Allen is we have limited housing here
right.
in the city of Port Allen. But over the years and since Katrina, we have grown. But because of the last census, it showed a decrease in our population. But because of the lack of housing, I think that's the reason for the decrease, because we do have a lot of industries here
yeah.
on the West Bank, and that's what we thrive off of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking in the next 10 years that the population of Port Allen will exceed more than 6,000.
So you actually have kind of, I mean, there's plenty of places that have an affordable housing challenge, just like you just mm-hmm. described. There's housing and there's affordable housing.
Right.
But you've got the jobs here.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have the places to put them. So it's not about recruiting more industry and having housing available for that. You need housing for the industry that's already here, that's already
correct.
Got the jobs because it's here and they're having to live somewhere else and then and drive mm-hmm. to work. And you'd rather them go ahead and keep their paychecks right here in Port Allen,
that's
wouldn't
it.
You?
That's it. In fact, we got a growing company getting ready to come in, and they're supposed to have employed a little over 100 employees, and we got a new subdivision that's been in the works for years about being developed. It's supposed to be like a River Ranch type subdivision, and hopefully when that growing plant comes to fruition, then the developer of that particular property will go ahead and start his project, because that's another I think 300 some homes
yeah.
supposed to be in that particular area.
And then people that already work here can live here too.
That's it. That's it. Because that's part of the city.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk more about Port Allen and what people can do if they come here, where they can participate in and how they could enjoy Port Allen and all it has to offer. But I've got a segment that I want to go through now. It's called the Get to Know You questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've gotten to know you, a little bit of your history and everything, but I got four questions that'll help the audience get to know the mayor of Port Allen even better.
Mm-hmm.
The first question is, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
I
The chuckle means yes.
Yeah, over my career, I had several nicknames.
Oh, multiple answers.
You know, my Richard is my name, yeah. But then they used to call me Ricky for short.
Okay.
But then in law enforcement, they used to call me just Lieutenant, Lieutenant Lee.
Well, yeah, that's not even a nickname. That's respect.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes it's just a title.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a title. But, yeah, that's about the only.
Okay, just Ricky and Lieutenant. Man, I thought with that chuckle it was going to be a good story.
No.
No little nicknames that just didn't last?
Nah.
Some incident that happened? I've heard some people in law enforcement give each other little nicknames that not necessarily well received by the recipient. But you don't have any stories like that, I guess.
No.
Okay. All right. Next question: what would be your go-to karaoke song?
Karaoke.
Well, yeah. You're singing karaoke. You gotta do it for the honor of Port Allen. Okay. What song are we queuing up for you?
Oh no, I don't see.
That actually makes it better. See, I get that response all the time. People, I don't sing. Mm. That's not the point of karaoke. Karaoke is about having fun and singing some fun song. And you don't even have to know the words. The words are right there for you on the screen, so you're good to go. So that's no excuse either.
I can't even think of a song.
All right, we're gonna put pause on that one because I got another question later. It'll help you come up with a karaoke song. Mm. We're gonna get something out of you though. All right, this one will be easier. Third question: what is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Favorite meal, favorite dish, probably red beans, rice, and fried chicken.
Red beans, rice, and fried chicken. I don't know if I've heard that combination before, but that does sound good.
Yeah.
All right, fried chicken with red beans and rice. All right, the last question, then we'll go back to the karaoke. If you could attend a concert of any singer, duo, band, any performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
That's a good one. I would probably say Michael Jackson, because I grew up with the Jackson 5 when he was.
There we go. So Michael Jackson in concert. So now we're going back to the karaoke question. And if it helps you, now we pick a Michael Jackson song. You going to sing Billie Jean?
No.
You can even do the moonwalk across the stage while you're singing. Everybody love it. Be a crowd pleaser right there.
I'm telling you. But,
all right, which Michael Jackson song? Come on, we got to get your name and karaoke song.
I mean, I don't.
We're going to go with Billie Jean if you don't come with something else.
Yeah, I don't really know. I could.
All right, Billie Jean it is. All right. Thanks for letting us get to know you.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right, I want to talk more about Port Allen, and very specifically, what if someone comes to Port Allen, is there a certain time of year they should come? What kind of activities or celebrations? You mentioned a big centennial celebration, but unless they want to wait another 100 years for that one, I'm sure you got some other activities going on. I think I've heard about some things that actually happened on the old ferry landing, and you talked about the path and everything like that. So what should people know about Port Allen, where they can come, when they should come visit to come participate in some of the activities here?
I think our main focus throughout the years is our July 4th celebration, and on that in that celebration, everybody comes together and have a one-day event where you enjoy the fireworks on the levee that's been exploded on the river, Mississippi River, by WRZ, who sponsors this event, and we also co-expand we get co sponsorship from the West Baton Rouge Parish, who also helped us with the food vendors and the kids events, the kid area where there's no alcohol. Mm-hmm. And it's a more of a family oriented event where everybody just come together, have a good time and celebrate the year. Our next event will be the Oktoberfest, which the museum just had this past weekend. And at that particular event, that's when you can come and see the culture of the parish and the city, how the sugarcane was cut and grown and harvested, and then how the folks back in the days used to work in the fields and what people don't see on TV, they can actually come see at the museum on the property, because they got buildings and so forth of historical events and historical places that that they can actually see.
I got a chance to visit there just briefly this morning, and that was impressive. You talk about those buildings. Mm-hmm. I said, now those don't look like they were built like that, and they were all moved. Like some of them were donated because they were going to be demolished wherever they sat, somewhere else in the parish. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very impressive museum. Talk about that just a little bit. Some of the different displays or things they have. I think there's some things that are permanent, but they also have some things that they have borrowed, I think even from the Smithsonian, if I'm right.
Yeah, they got an old grocery store that they I think came from the one of the plantations along the River Road.
The actual building, the structure came.
And they brought the building there and refurbished it. And I mean, it's the exact same building that was back in the 1930s, you know.
Yeah.
And then they also got an old barn there where they got the equipment that the farmers used at that particular time to farm the land. And then they got a cotton gin or they got several antique equipment and so forth that you can come in and see. And then they got a jig joint where the plantation owners used to have parties or get-togethers during the weekends, and they haven't come. Everybody come to this joint and have a good time.
And that building was also moved from somewhere else. So they moved a juke joint from one of these plantation spots, and now it's right on the grounds with the museum.
That's it. Yes,
and do they still use it as a juke joint and play music and have parties?
In fact, they do. And then they give lessons to the kids that want to learn more about the blues and so forth.
Okay.
So,
I heard there was some different like classes, so it's like part museum and part I don't know what, like some of those extra classes about there's a blacksmith there, and I think some other just kind of skills like that you can take courses and do things in. But I didn't realize there was music lessons too. Okay, that's pretty cool. All right, so they should come to the museum, come on the 4th of July. What else does Sport Idaho have to offer? And if it's a certain period of time, make sure to tell us when to be here.
And the other activity that we participate in is around Christmas. We usually give a Christmas celebration or parade downtown Port Allen, and that's usually around the middle of December, right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we all celebrate Christmas with either a parade or some type of activity in downtown Port Allen. All right, another one of our celebrations is the June 19th celebration, which we have at the William & Lee Park, which is located on the western end of Louisiana Avenue off of LA1. And that's where everybody come together to remember the times and when the slaves from Texas weren't aware that they were free. And as we all know, that the President of the United States has declared that a holiday, and we celebrate that each year. So that's another huge celebration that we have here in the city of Port Allen.
And now as close to New Orleans as we are, sitting right here, I'm sure you have a Mardi Gras celebration, or at least take part in that somewhere with the other communities?
Yes, sir. Every year, the Sunday before the actual Mardi Gras is always, the final day is on the Tuesday of each year. And the city of Port Allen holds their Mardi Gras that Sunday before that final day. And
so that way people can come to two Mardi Gras, the one in Port Allen, and then go down to the
final day.
That's right, the final
where
day.
You really get crazy. But they get crazy here in the city of Port Allen because they call it the Good Friends of the Oaks. And it's activity been going on for years since I was little. And it's a family-oriented parade. And this year, in fact, last year was the first year that they actually let bands in the parade, and it grew. And participation grew, and the weather was perfect. And everybody had a festival time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can tell you, it was a while since the COVID event that they actually had people to
couldn't
come
get
out.
Together.
Because we was trying to think whether we should have Mardi Gras this year or not, and turned out we played our cards right, and everybody came out and had a good time.
Good, good. I want to ask this, and this is just kind of a broader question. It might even go back to things we talked about as far as community and what you wanted to see and everything. Mm-hmm. You've been in office 8 years. Mm-hmm. You came in with some kind of specific things you wanted, but really it was you wanted people to come together.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you see? I guess I'll ask this question like this. I'll leave it broad and go whatever direction you want. What is your vision for the future, and what's the next thing, or maybe what are you doing now to kind of lay groundwork for continued growth? And I know that everyone's going to have the same, you know, you talked about housing and affordable housing. I bet you work on infrastructure or have some infrastructure issues, because if you're going to grow, obviously that's got to be in every small town, every big city you go talk to, infrastructure is kind of a key focus. But what is it you're working on now, and what do you want to see, you know, 10 years from now, whether you're still in this office or not? I don't know if you want to just go ahead and stay here for 20 more years. I don't know. I didn't ask that question. But what's the future of Port Allen? What are you doing now to make that a reality?
Well, my job is like a seven-day job.
Yeah.
Eight days,
some weeks.
That's it. You have everybody's beck and call. But it's to provide a service to the community. And what you want to do is make sure that the community is operating in a safe manner. And what we have did over the years since I've been in office is improve our roadway construction. Each year we dedicate at least $375,000 toward the rehabbing of the roads within the city. And we take a certain segment throughout the city, probably a third of each location. I mean, we divide the city up in quarters, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out how many roads we can do within that budget amount. And I can tell you, for the past 7 years, we have basically completed all the rehabs within the city of Port Allen. And that's appreciative, to tell you the truth.
If you got through your to-do list, you'll be the first person I've talked to that can say it like that. I'm sure there's still more work to be done. There's always something coming up, but to make it all the way through with that kind of plan,
yeah, and
that's to be commended.
And that's the thing we have to realize, because once you get to the end, now it's time to start back.
Now the stuff you did 7 years ago needs
that's correct.
Yeah, something.
But the other thing is our infrastructure as far as our sewer and water department. We have spent a lot of money trying to develop, improve our sewer system. It's outdated. It's 60-year-old. What our plans are in the near future is to build a brand new plant. But the problem is if we landlocked and we don't have a location
nearby.
So we're trying to negotiate with the nearby property owners so that they can sell us some land so that we can build a new plant so that we can be more efficient. Because everybody wants to be able to flush their toilet and do everything else. But
a basic city service.
That's it. That's it. And right now, our sewer treatment plant is located in the city, in the center of town, and that's what you don't want.
Right,
So we want to remove that from the city where it's at and put it in the outskirts of the parish.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the kind of thing you want off to the side.
That's it. That's it. But also, you want to improve your infrastructure anyway, because if you don't, the smell is just awesome.
Yeah.
And like I tell all the residents that I have that's located around that plant, I don't see how they can stay there, because we do all we can to alleviate the smell.
Right. But you can only minimize that so much.
Yeah. But over the years, we got to find a new solution, a new area to put that facility.
Yeah.
And the other thing is our water and gas. We own our own gas. We buy the gas from Cypex Gas and we sell it to the customers so that our customers won't get that high gas rate that they get from other municipalities.
You want to run it a little like a business, but you're not so profit driven.
That's it.
And that provides that service.
So, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mayor, as we start to kind of close out this episode, I want to invite you to take the same opportunity I give to all my guests and speak directly to our small town podcast audience and tell them why they should come visit, or maybe they should come move to Port Allen, Louisiana.
Yes, sir, Mayor. What I like to say is that Port Allen's a small knit community. I mean, it's a safe environment, very low in crime, and our school system is one of the best in the parish. In fact, at one particular time, our school system had a D rating, and over the past 4 or 5 years with the past superintendent, we have improved to a B rating. So, I mean, it's a good improvement to the kids in the neighborhood, the kids in the community. The other thing is that our basketball team won three state championships back to back. So we got a lot of talent here within the city. The other thing is that if you come down through the city of Port Allen, our main thoroughfare is LA1, and you know that it's well kept, it's clean, and it's something that you want to visit. We have the West Baton Rouge Parish Museum located here within the city where you can come and visit, and you come and see all the ancient buildings and so forth. And then we also have events that we offer for our senior citizens. Each year we have a senior citizens dinner that we give to the seniors in the community, because we know that they mean so much to the kids in the area and to the community. So we do treat them at the end of the year around the Christmas. We also bring about activities within the community for our youth. One of the things is the crime against violence. Right now, we have a function that this young lady, Tara Snorrell, who lost her son years ago, and she's very vocal about violence within the community. And Port Allen in a bad community, but violence can happen anywhere. And it so happens that it came to us, and we are dealing with it, and we're going to move forward. But what I want to someone who's come to visit Port Allen understand that we are a safe community. We are a close-knit community, and we are a community that we want everybody to enjoy and be proud of.
Mayor Richard Lee, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Richard Lee for talking with me. I also want to thank the Louisiana Municipal Association and Louisiana Economic Development for partnering and sponsoring this episode. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association and the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Thank you for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.